Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hey guys, right now on the line we have the one, the only, Lita Ford. Lita, this is Sean, and we got Mark Striegel here too. How you doing?
What's up, guys? What's going on?
Lita, thanks so much for calling in. We're psyched to be talking to you. We understand you're working on some new music. We wanted to ask you how it's sounding.
Well, actually, I'm with Gary Hoey. We're working on it right now, and I had to tell him to be quiet so I could do this interview.
Well, thanks for taking the time out while you're in the studio. Gary's such an amazing guitar player. Wow, very, very cool.
Yeah. Wait, hold on. He's throwing his fist in the air. Say hi, Gary.
Hey, thanks so much, brother. How are you?
Hey, Gary, great to talk to you, man. I've been a fan of yours for a long time, and I can't wait to hear the music that you're doing with Lita.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, I'll tell you, you will not be disappointed. The new material that Lita's coming out with and what we've been working on together is awesome. I think you're going to be blown away. I can't wait for you to hear it.
Very cool. Thanks, Gary.
All right, bro. Take care. I hope to see you soon.
Cool. Absolutely.
All right. And you guys get a 2-for-1.
Yeah, that's
there
great.
We go.
Very, very cool.
So, Lita, I wanted to ask you, is this going to differ, like, stylistically a lot or a little from Wicked Wonderland? What can we expect?
Well, it's nothing like Wicked Wonderland. Wicked Wonderland was a conglomeration of different lyrics and melodies and harmonies that came up. My husband came up with, my ex-husband, Jim Gillette, and Greg Hampton, and they pretty much put together Wicked Wonderland, and they did most of the writing, and they did most of the guitar playing, and
it just wasn't a real, it wasn't a real Lita record.
Right.
And now we're making a real Lita record.
Well, fans are going to be, you know, really happy to hear, because Wicked Wonderland was great, but I think that the fans were really, you know, waiting for another true Lita Ford album. And that's what this is going to be.
Yeah. I got a lot of people complaining about that. I was like, sorry, I didn't mean it. I'm sorry. I won't do it again.
No, it's cool. Hey, Lita, I wanted to mention, it was great running into you down in Florida at that Monster convention. You were with my buddy Chris Kiska, and I was with Ace Frehley. So that was a great time.
That was a blast. I love Monsters.
Who's your favorite?
I got some. Let's see. Well, there was a lot there that at that convention. From the convention, I think my favorite was probably, what's his name? Jason.
Yeah, Jason, right. Yeah, I had a chance to run into him.
Yeah.
I didn't meet Robert Englund, though. Freddy Krueger, he was there too, right?
Yeah, Freddy Krueger, and he's definitely one of my favorites. He gave my son a little gold claw.
Wow.
You know, like the claw that he has. Yeah. And you wear it around your neck. It's amazing.
Very cool.
He signed some 8x10s for my kids, and he wrote some real wacky stuff on there. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was really creepy. It was like, wow, that's cool. I mean, very different than rock and roll, you know?
Yeah, very different. But very cool, though.
Now, Lita, when I was a teenager, the first album by you that really exposed me to what you were all about was called Out for Blood. Do you have any memories about doing that record? I know, you know, you left the Runaways, I believe, in 79, and it was, you know, 83 that Out for Blood came out. What were you going through at that time? Did you have a lot to prove? What memories do you have of the Out for Blood record?
Boy, Out for Blood was in the very beginning of my solo career. I wanted to prove myself as a guitar player because there wasn't so many girl guitar players out at the time. And I just wanted to be like a female Hendrix, you know. I was so into guitar playing. And to me, it was something that just kind of came natural. And not a lot of girls did it at the time, and I really didn't even pay attention to that. I didn't know why there weren't girls doing it, and I didn't really put two and two together. Like, people would come over with their friends, and they'd sit around, they'd say, Lita, play us that riff. And I'd play some Black Sabbath riff or something, and everybody was so amazed. And I would just look at them like, what's the big deal? Can everybody do this? I don't understand. You know, aren't all the girls in the neighborhood doing this? I don't understand. What's the big deal? So anyway, Out for Blood was sort of my way of putting across my guitar playing. And I remember the Out for Blood video. I've got this great big bruise on my arm from playing racquetball. I got nailed in the arm from playing racquetball. And those of you who play serious racquetball know what kind of a bruise that it can leave when that ball hits you. So I remember the video. I haven't seen it in a while, but I just remember the bruise.
And what went on? The Runaways kind of broke up in 79. That album came out in 83. What was going on between 1979 and 1983 for you? Do you remember those years?
Yeah, of course. those years were just trying to be a solo artist. And let's see, I was probably 20. I was 20. I was 17 when the Runaways' first album came out in 1975. And we broke up in 1980.
80, okay.
So those were the years where I was learning how to sing.
Mm.
I wasn't really a singer in the Runaways. I was more of a background singer. And during those years, I got a warehouse. I put a bunch of Marshall stack in there, not a bunch, but I brought my guitars down, and
I taught myself how to sing and play at the same time, which was really, it's not that easy. I mean, everybody, you know, sings a couple of background vocals, and they think it's easy, but it's really a whole different animal. And I didn't know how to do it. I had to teach myself. So that's what I did during those few years of my life, was teaching myself how to sing and play at the same time. And I got inspired by Johnny Winter, Jimi Hendrix again, because he was a guitar player and a singer at the same time. You know, it's like two jobs in one.
Yeah, and the coordination, it's tough like Mark and I are both musicians, so we understand, and it, just for all you listeners, it's actually tough to be playing a guitar part in one rhythm and then sing in a completely different rhythm and a different melody and stuff like that. So that's very cool, Lita. Now, Lita, you're going to be going on tour soon and doing some dates with Whitesnake, I believe, because I know that you're coming into the New York area.
Yeah, I honestly don't know what... Andrew, are you on the phone?
I am.
Can you tell us about the Whitesnake dates? I'm not quite sure that those are, if we're on that bill. Are we on those?
We're no longer on that bill.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Thanks, Andrew, for clearing
it up. Hey, thanks, Andrew.
There was some problem with the venue or something, and I don't remember exactly what it was, but...
Okay, well, hopefully we'll get you into the New York, New Jersey area sometime soon, because we'd love to see you.
Yeah, get me there.
Yeah, we'll bring you up here without a doubt. So tell us more about the stuff you're doing with Gary, because I'm really excited to hear it. It sounds great. Who else is playing with you? Is it at this point just you two guys working on stuff, or what? What's going on?
Right now it's Gary and I, and we've got some musicians on hold that are ready to play bass and drums. We've just used mechanical drums for now, and then we're going to replace the drums with a live drummer. We used Uptown Horn section on one of the songs, which is really cool. Yeah, the guys, it's wild because we were in the New Hampshire area, and there's not a whole lot of musicians that I know personally in this area.
Right.
So I said to Gary, we need horns. Need horns on this song. And I said, Gary, who do you know that has horns? They can play horns, sorry. And he's sitting there, he's thinking, you know, the other night I saw the Uptown Horns play. And I said, just get them, get their number. What's their number? And he says, I don't know. He said, I had the card. I gave it to my wife. And I said, ask her for the number. Get the number. So we pulled out the number, and they just so happened to have been about literally seven miles away from Gary's house. They were playing a gig during the day, and they did their gig, and they came over, and they played on one of our tracks.
You can't get any better with a horn section than those guys, because I've seen Arno play a few times, and those guys are just insane.
Right, they are. Oh, my gosh. It was amazing. It was like God really put them there for us, because when we called, we expected them to be on the other side of the world.
Right.
And they were right up the street.
That's nuts.
How freaky is that?
It's cool.
Now, you're talking about horn sections. It's funny. I was at your website earlier today, and I was very touched. You had a message up there about Clarence Clemons, and you said he helped me through some tough times and some amazingly awesome times. How did you know Clarence?
I met Clarence when I did the Dick Clark Show. He was on Dick Clark Show. Mm. And during that time, he... was putting together a band to play in the Howie Mandel show. Do you remember? It was 1992, I believe, or 93. Howie Mandel had his own TV show. And in the show was a band.
Right.
Clarence was the head of the band.
Ah, okay.
And he asked me if I would be the guitar player in the band. And it was great. It was so much fun. So that's how Clarence and I met. And when the Uptown Horns came, it was really I was thinking to myself, you know, we need to get Clarence to play on this song. And I'm not going to tell you what song it is. You'll know it when you hear it.
Cool.
You're going to freak out. But, and that's when he died.
Jeez.
Okay.
It was the most bizarre thing because we needed horns. Clarence died. We called the Uptown Horns. I mean, it all happened all like in the same day. It was the freakiest thing. Hmm. It was just wrong.
Wow.
But, yeah, really wild.
I mean, Clarence, he played with so many people. I was reading his Wikipedia page, and I never knew he played with Twisted Sister and Great White, even, you know. So,
cool. I mean
everybody thinks
guy.
Of him with Springsteen, but he just did so much more, and will be greatly missed, definitely.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So, Lita,
definitely, but
no, I was going to say, I also saw on your site that you did something with the Baldwins for breast cancer. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we just did a benefit for Carol Baldwin. They do it every year, a breast cancer benefit show. And, of course, all the proceeds go towards breast cancer. And they're just wonderful people. And it was a pleasure for me to have been a part of that. But what was really cool about it, there's this aquamarine center. And it's in Long Island, and they rented for the show. So after everybody left, the public left, they closed it out, and they had their event at this Aquamarine Center. So the whole place was transferred from kids and families to fine dining in the Aquamarine Center. The whole place was dark, and the only thing that was lit up was like the killer whale tank and the whatchamacallit, stingrays. You know, everything was lit up. They had a wall of macaw birds, and there was little penguins walking around with little pink bow ties.
Man.
They were pecking at my guitar because they'd never seen a guitar before. So they were like, what's this? And they'd come over and they'd start pecking at my guitar.
Wow.
Very cool. Was really a lot of fun. And I got to meet Billy and Stephen Baldwin. And they're just great people. And Carol was wonderful. Sweet, sweet, sweet lady. Just couldn't ask for better. They treated me real good. So that was a lot of fun.
You know,
it was my pleasure.
And it's great, you know, it's a great thing. It's so cool that you're giving some of your time to such a great cause. And, you know, so you should be, you know, commended on that, too. So what a very cool thing. Now, I'll tell you the truth. We can't wait to see you guys do some live stuff. Do you have any live dates planned?
Yeah, we do. Andrew.
Hey there.
Help us out with the live dates, will you?
Yeah, let me pull them up for you.
We've got... next weekend.
At the end of August, you're in Springfield at Jack's Nightclub.
That's a great bar. That's a great club.
Right. And then at the Ocean City, the Purple Moose Salon.
Very cool, guy.
And then at the Soaring Eagle Casino in Mount Pleasant.
And that's in Michigan. And then I see there's a Houston gig and a couple of Texas gigs. And then, you know, this is what I wanted to talk about. You're doing something with Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp.
Yes.
Now, have you been involved with David Fischoff before in the camp, or is this going to be your first time?
I've done two with David Fischoff.
Oh, yeah.
I did the Atlantis with Tommy Lee
and
a whole bunch of other celebrities, and Ace, of course. And then we did, what was the other one? Oh, it was Los Angeles. That one was televised. I couldn't remember when they filmed it. It was in May last year. So
cool.
And
that was on VH1, right?
Yep.
Do you know if this
one was televised?
Will this newer one also be televised on VH1?
The October one is not televised. It's in New York. The November one will be televised at the Playboy Mansion.
Very cool.
Cool.
Yeah, can't wait.
Lita, it's awesome, and just cannot wait to check you out when you come back to our area in New York.
So, Lita, before we let you go, I mean, the one album to me that made you just a household name was the Lita album. And any memories on that? So many great songs on that. For example, Can't Catch Me. Can you talk a little bit about that song and who helped you write it?
Yeah, of course. Can't Catch Me was co-written with Lemmy, my dear friend. He's such a riot. That song, and you know, a lot of those songs, it, just from living in Hollywood and living in Los Angeles, I was able to have access to a lot of wonderful musicians just by being there. Can't Catch Me, you know, Lemmy lives down the street from the Rainbow Bar and Grill. You know, he's sort of stumbling distance from the studio. So we got together and we just hung out for a while and we wrote Can't Catch Me. It took about 3 days to get out of his living room.
Wow.
And took about another 3 days to get home. And then once I got through my front door, it took about another 3 days to get into the bedroom. I mean, wow. I was hungover big time. But we had a lot of fun, and every time I play that song, it's just a blast.
Almost a Deep Purple vibe to that. Maybe it's the keyboards, I don't know. But was Deep Purple an influence on you?
I'm sorry, Deep Purple, huge influence.
Yeah, because I can almost hear a slight Deep Purple vibe to Can't Catch Me.
Oh, no, I've never heard anybody say that, but now that you mention it, I'm just a huge Deep Purple fan. I loved that band more than any other band. They were my idols. I had posters in my wall when I was a little kid. They were the best. They were absolutely the best.
And were you a fan of them even after Ian Gillan left and David Coverdale joined and Glenn Hughes?
Of course.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. Absolutely. And then Jolyn Turner was the lead singer in Rainbow. I remember we toured with Rainbow all through Europe. I think it was about an 8-week tour. It was a blast. I just love Richie's playing.
Yeah, such a great player. Back to the Lita album, some of the other people that were involved, Nikki Sixx, a song we just played earlier on the show, Falling In and Out of Love, with Nikki Sixx. And is that kind of an ironic title, being that it's co-written by Nikki Sixx?
It was just a song. We were just friends at the time.
Right.
And it was just a song that we just sort of came up with. You know, it wasn't anything to do with a relationship or anything like that. It was just something. You know, they were in the studio. I was in the studio next door. And they had a little room off to the side of the studio that had a piano in it. And Nikki and I went in there and we just wrote the song. That's pretty much it.
Cool.
You know?
Yeah. And of course,
same place we wrote with Ozzy.
Yeah, I was going to say, and of course, the big smash hit Close My Eyes Forever with Ozzy. Now, were you being managed by Sharon at that time?
Sharon was my manager, yes.
Okay. And how long did she actually manage you for?
She managed me, let's see, a good 2 or 3 years. She was having some problems, you know, with her family at the time, and her and I went our separate ways. But I just absolutely love Sharon, and she did so much for my career. She just gave it that kickstart it needed, you know. And she came in at a time where I pretty much had everything in place. I had the record company in place. I had Mike Chapman producing the record. I needed a manager. I didn't have a manager. So I called her up from this Long Beach oyster bar. I remember sitting at the oyster bar doing oyster shots with drinking Bloody Marys. And I called her up and I said, Sharon, would you please manage me? And I remember her saying, yes. So I was thrilled. I was so thrilled. And she really took my career and gave it a big jump start. So, I mean, I was off and running anyway, but Sharon took it to the next level.
Very cool. Hey, Lita, these stories
make me want to go back in time, move out to L.A. and be there at that, you know, that decade, the 80s. It was just such a great time out in L.A. Everybody was hanging out and collaborating and just, you know, partying. It just seemed like an awesome time.
Yeah, it really was. I agree. It really, really was an awesome time. And I don't know why, but I feel like it's coming back again.
Well, that's great to hear because I need it. I need something like that to reemerge and, you know, for all the people that love metal and hard rock to really kind of just get back together again and like do it up like that we all did back in the 80s.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think so, too. And I think it's time. You know, I think it's reemerging. And even our offsprings, you know, like our kids are growing up and they're playing old Def Leppard songs. They're playing AC/DC. You know, they're listening to the classic rock. And classic rock has taken the face of music and created this whole empire of rock. I mean, you can't put down somebody for having big hair, for God's sake.
Right.
What does that have to do with anything? It's like saying my balls are bigger than yours. Who cares?
Absolutely.
It's created an empire. I mean, look, for instance, the Hard Rock. The Hard Rock Hotel and casinos. I mean, that's all, you know, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s.
Yeah, and it's still going strong.
Hard rock.
Absolutely, and it's going to be going strong forever. And you're right, and the fact that young kids now are listening to classic rock is, you know, it's a great thing because, it makes me feel confident that it's never going to die because, you know, it'd just kill me if it did.
It won't. You know, what's interesting is, like, the punk era. Whatever happened to the punk era? Why hasn't that come back around again? Or maybe it is. I don't know. Maybe that's next, you know? Because the Runaways really were in the punk era.
Right, right.
When I first started in rock and roll, we were out there with the Sex Pistols and Blondie and the Ramones and, you know, the real true punks and the Runaways. And that's where we started. And then from there, we branched off into heavy metal. And I don't know. It's just heavy metal just never dies.
Right. No doubt about it.
And even though, you know, even the grunge scene and all of that, underneath it all, there was still some heavy metal.
Right. A lot of those grunge guys were metal fans. Like the guys in Alice in Chains, just the
light. Yeah, even Soundgarden, I mean, is just almost textbook Black Sabbath at points.
Right.
You know, it's just, yeah, definitely.
That's so true.
Hey, Lita.
That's so true.
Lita, I just want to tell you that we are so thankful that you came on tonight and took time out of recording and tell Gary also thank you. And, you know, we just couldn't be more happier that you came on and took some time out to talk some metal with us.
Thanks. Awesome. It was my pleasure.
Great. Hey, Lita, can you do a Talking Metal ID for us saying, you know, hey, this is Lita Ford. You're listening to Talking Metal?
Sure.
Okay, whenever you're ready.
Say when.
Go for it.
Hey, this is Lita Ford, and you are listening to Talking Metal.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Lita.
Thanks, Lita. Thanks so much. And we definitely got to come and see you when you come into the New York area and tell Gary the same thing.
I will. I'll have him take his headphones off. He's doing bass right now.
All right. All right. This has got to let
right,
go.
God bless.
Hey, thanks, Lita.
See you soon.
Take it easy. Bye-bye.
Hey.
This is Gotta Let Go by Lita Ford on Talking Metal. Big thanks to Lita for joining us on the podcast. Lita Ford. That was Out for Blood.
Very cool interview with Lita.
Yeah.
Really psyched to have her on the show. And a bonus little cameo by Gary Hoey, one of the really cool shredder-type guitar players.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, it's interesting. I guess I wanted to ask her about Bumblefoot because I know Bumblefoot toured with her, but it didn't feel right, and there, we kind of ran out of time. But it's interesting that she has another excellent kind of, if you will, shredder player
right,
in there, or at
right.
least somebody who can shred. I never like the term shredder because
yeah,
it kind of
like,
is just one style of playing.
Right.
And
but
you look
they,
at a guy
can,
like Bumblefoot or
he
Gary,
can play
and
everything,
he can play
yeah.
everything, really.
Now, I wanted to tell the listeners, I don't think I've told them this yet on a podcast, but I hung out with Bumblefoot the other day.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you told me.
Oh, I told you?
Yeah,
yeah,
you told me.
What was cool is I met Bumblefoot at the Gibson Guitar Showroom, and... We're going to be going back there. In a,
cool.
I think next Monday.
Well, keep me posted. I might want to swing
oh, cool.
by.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I should swing yeah. by for sure. And then what happened? Bumblefoot is producing a really great singer from Mexico City. And it's something that I'm sure you guys are going to be hearing about very soon. And it's a cool thing.
Excellent. Well, everybody's talking. I mean, is Richard Fortus still in Guns? We don't really
know.
I don't...
Mark, you know more
I just
about
follow
Guns
the gossip
the
a little bit, you know, not as much as I used to, but
I used
it
to
sounds
love
like
following the gossip of GNR, but I just have been so crazed, as you know, with like
right.
10 jobs that like I just haven't been able to follow everything lately.
Well, the question on the Guns N' Roses gossip front is, you know, Richard Fortus is supposedly now in Thin Lizzy, and Guns and Thin have conflicting
dates?
Tour dates.
Oh,
so
wow.
It should be interesting to see what happens. I mean, Thin Lizzy at this point, I mean, some people might even say this about Guns N' Roses, but Thin Lizzy to me just seems like it's
not really
it's,
them.
Yeah, it's just
well, you know,
it's
what,
like just
with a different singer. I mean,
yeah.
that's.
Well, two original members.
Okay, two original members.
According to Marzeri 2005, Victor from the Mars Attacks podcast, which you guys should all be listening to, by the way. All right. So, anyways, some
hey,
sad
Victor.
News today, by the way. 70-year-old John Lord, one of my favorite keyboardists of Deep Purple, has come out today and said he has cancer. So,
oh, geez.
Just so, so sorry to hear that.
Man.
My favorite Deep Purple story, of course, was when myself and Terry Kiyomori went to see the quote-unquote reunion of the Mark II lineup, I guess you'd call it, the classic Deep Purple lineup, Ian Gillan, Roger Glover, Ian Paice, Richie Blackmore, and John Lord, of course. We went to see that as probably 15-year-olds. This is when they got to... back together for the Perfect Strangers thing, you know, and we had nosebleed seats, you know, and I swear to God, we were 15 years old. We were the youngest kids in there, you know, and suddenly these big bouncer security guys, like Deep Purple security, not like arena security,
yeah, right, right.
came up and they pointed to us and they were like, you two. And we were like, what the hell? We didn't do anything wrong. This is like after the opening band, before... Deep Purple, Jafria opened, got booed off the stage. they escort us down from our nosebleed seats, like 10 rows in front of the stage. And,
and
they plopped us there. And the only thing I could think of in retrospect was they were like, get some young kids up front because
right,
there's too many old guys up here. Yeah. And when so I say old guys,
oh, so
30 years
when,
old.
And they were like,
put
on these girl outfits and put on this makeup and make your
sort
mouth
of,
into a weird circle.
Yeah. I just think they wanted some youth up there, you know, because,
Oh,
you know,
funny.
Even back at that time, they had the you know, the monitors and stuff and they wanted to
like,
show,
they,
like,
want to show
they didn't want
young.
All like guys with beards and straight long hair up there, you know, at the time, you know, so, you know, we got excellent. Excellent seats.
What
and that
arena
blew
was
my
that?
Mind. That was at the Chicago Pavilion, actually,
oh,
which
like
I don't even
a,
know
like
is still
PNC
there.
PNC kind of a place?
No, and, it was an indoor place like in downtown Chicago.
Wow. The rest you've just blocked out.
Yeah, well, possibly. What do you mean by that?
Just can't really remember what happened after you were brought up to the front.
No,
and,
I remember.
Asked to drink some strange liquid. And
No.
The rest is just a foggy memory for
you and a
hypnotherapist to decipher.
Well, possibly. But it was a great show. I do remember Child in Time and just all the classic Deep Purple. It was such an amazing show and such great players. And John Lord, just such an amazing talent.
Man.
One of the members of Deep Purple, who, you know, I think has been there pretty consistently throughout their career, maybe on every record. I would have to check that. But, you know, when you hear Hush, you know, from 1968 or something. That, of course, was John Lord, Ritchie Blackmore, Maureen Pace, but no, that was a different singer and a different bass player. That was not Roger Clover or Ian Gillan.
You know, I got to be close friends with Glenn Hughes, and he is just such a great singer and, you know, bassist and, you know, important member of the band, too, even though he wasn't there originally. Hey, guess what? I got some interesting news that I can tie into heavy metal.
You go for it.
Donna DeErico. You know who she is?
Married to Nikki Sixx for a while?
Once married to Nikki Sixx. She is canceling her quest to find Noah's Ark in Mount Ararat in Turkey.
Oh, God.
And the reason is because she fears...
Why give up now, really?
Yeah, she fears that if she makes the trip, she might never return.
Wow.
Okay. I'm not sure what that means, but that's according to...
Sounds like she went off the deep end.
TMZ.com. Yeah.
There you go. Wow, that's
favorite,
craziness.
My favorite, Gavin DeGraw, not heavy metal, hospitalized after brutal attack in the East Village. But that sounds a little fishy to me. I think something... I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. Don't even know who that is, to be honest.
Some guy, I don't know, he's probably on, you know, I don't want to say. Okay, somebody was punched in the face at the Playboy Mansion, a German rapper. Yeah.
All right. It's not metal. Well, listen.
Could be any number of German rappers.
Let's get into...
This is good. John Frusciante, not really metal, not metal at all. He is fearing that he's being stalked.
Yeah.
Okay. Well. I'll go off of TMZ. I should be on like some heavy metal website, but I'm addicted to TMZ.
All right. Anyway. This is Deep Purple, Little David Coverdale, and Glenn Hughes.
Apparently, I could grow my penis 17 inches. I'm looking at my phone as well. this might be spam.
Little Deep Purple, your friend Glenn Hughes and David Coverdale sharing lead on this one.
Yeah, very, very
cool. This is Sail Away.
Your
Talking metal.
Oh, there we go.
That was Bud Friendly.
Bud Friendly, yes.
I don't know if you could hear that.
A little classic Deep Purple there.
Still nude.
A little classic Deep Purple there off the Burn record with David Coverdale, Glenn Hughes, Richie Blackmore. Who else was on that record? Ian Paice. And, of course, John Lord, who announced that he has cancer. Wow. Our best wishes to John Lord. Get well soon, dude.
That's crazy.
70 years old. Metal's getting old, man. We're getting old. It's all going fast, man. Yeah. I just watched some show.
I'm getting younger. I am actually Bud Button.
There you go. He's Bud Button in the studio nude.
Turning into a baby as we speak.
And he's nude, but he has the mask painted on his face. Body paint.
Exactly. And that, yes, this is my penis.
Time. I just was watching this Morgan Freeman special thing on some science channel. You see
I
that
like
thing?
Him. No.
Yeah. Apparently, the older you get, the faster time goes. So that means we'll be dead in a few days. Yeah. It's just crazy and sad. And let's move on. Anyways. Go ahead.
I just am kind of blown away. I have Apple.com, and this is slightly connected to metal. The first story on Apple.com is reviewer Jim Dalrymple writes an article about a 13-inch MacBook Air. But guess what? He's good friends with Zach Wilde, and I know him. So I can't believe that I thought I was seeing things. But anyway... That's cool. My story.
Hey, we didn't
that
play
was the most interesting story John Astronomy's told all night.
We didn't play Adrenaline Mob yet, did we? I don't think so. No. Exciter is talking about this band. Of course, Mike Portnoy on drums. The EP, I guess it's an EP, came out today. They do a cover of Mob Rules. A lot of good songs on the EP. I did download it off of iTunes, which I'm not doing a lot of downloading yet anymore now that with Spotify.
I don't know about that. That's pretty cool.
You got to check it out. It's the future, the iTunes killer for sure. But Adrenaline Mob not on Spotify, so I did go to iTunes to buy it, and we will have links up on today's show notes in the podcast version of this show where you can use those links to go to iTunes to buy this Adrenaline Mob song and other music. After you're in iTunes, shop away, buy TV shows, buy apps, buy whatever you want. And we'll get, I think, a 3% kickback on that. Of course, there's no additional charge to you guys. There's other ways to contribute to the podcast. There's PayPal buttons on talkingmetal.com. There are links to No Regrets, John's book.
Yeah. Coming out.
And there's a special tree in Central Park where you can leave loose pills and powders for Bud Friendly.
Yes, there you go.
I will put a clothes on before I go out
there. Listen, you people seem afraid to mail cash. I am encouraging you all to mail cash to my P.O. Box in Maplewood, New Jersey. P.O. Box
even
404
if it's,
Maplewood,
you
New
know,
Jersey.
Have you ever heard this... Even a penny. Remember those guys in the subway that like, even one penny would make a difference.
Don't mail me a fucking penny.
No, guys,
that's all I
got to
say. Mail me at least a dollar. Listen, every listener will mail me $5.
But even $1 would be great, but $5 would be better.
$5 cash.
Yeah. There's this guy who I'm friendly with on the PATH train, and I've already memorized his speech, and it says, "Welcome to the Bergen Lafayette Coalition to Feed the Homeless Shelter." I don't even know if that makes sense, but that's what he says. And he goes, "If you could spare any change, even one penny would make a difference."
Yeah, well, listen, I remember the PATH train. The guys, "If you're hungry, I have sandwiches."
Yeah, that's him. And if you're hungry, he's carrying some sandwiches with him. So if you're
I would
hungry,
eat those sandwiches.
Yeah,
man.
But no, he's a nice guy. Yeah, he carries.
I tell you,
he carries some sandwiches, but he always says, welcome to the Bergen Lafayette coalition.
Does he have like a badge around his
shelter?
Neck?
Yeah, he might. I don't know, but I always
I know that guy.
I don't know if
his
that's
name's
Teddy.
Ron.
Oh, really? Oh, Ron? Okay, because there was a guy named Teddy, but then there was another
I don't
guy.
Know if his name's Ron.
No, it's Teddy, and a real nice guy. I hope he's doing well. And you know, I think he, I'm sure he really is from the Bergen Lafayette coalition to feed the homeless shelter.
You want to hear a sad story? A guy who worked in the mailroom at Sci-Fi back when I used to work there. His name was Ron. And he was a little off, like he was a mailroom guy. He was a little off. A nice guy, though. And he'd always, like, this is like, you know, 2004, 2005. He always had a Walkman. It wasn't an iPod. And he would listen to, he'd tape Opie and Anthony, and then he'd listen to it as he delivered the Sci-Fi mail on his headphones on his cassette Walkman. Yeah, nice guy. And he was let go from Sci-Fi. And he used to occasionally call me after he was let go, like, hey, Mark, I wanted to let you know I saw Jackie the Joke Man from the Howard Stern Show walking down the street, and I went up to him and I said, I love you. And he would leave me these crazy messages because he knew that I like, you know, radio. And again, he was a little off. And then so anyways, about a year after he got fired from Sci-Fi, I was on the subway.
Laid off.
Yeah, laid off. Yeah, sure. I was on the subway and... I saw this guy like at the West 4th Street subway station from the subway as I was going by, and he had like a shopping cart and like 50, you know, not 50,
bags
five
or something.
filled with cans.
And it was him.
And I was like, oh, it's a homeless guy. And I looked over and it was the guy who used to work in Sci-Fi.
No.
Yeah, he was collecting cans.
That's yet another sad story tonight on Talking Metal.
Sad story.
Nonstop wall
to
wall.
You know what, guys? Thanks for listening to this section of Talking Metal. I am going to run into the other room. We're going to be back in 5 minutes with a rockin' upbeat interview with Todd Youth.
Yes, and we'll probably cut this and make this, if you're listening to the podcast version, I believe Todd Youth will actually fall into the next episode.
Correct.
It is now hour three of Talking Metal Live.
But here's your good friend. I don't know if he's my friend. I guess he knows me, Mike Portnoy.
Yeah,
Turtlehead, a band member.
I love him.
Bandmate.
Friend of mine
Turtlehead bandmate.
Yeah, anyways, Adrenaline Mob out today, Tuesday, August 9th. 2011. Here we go. Mike Portnoy on the drums. Check this out. Great stuff here on Talking Metal.